Our text this morning from the book of Luke, Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, there will be no end." This is the word of the Lord. Gracious Father, as we look to your word this morning and ask you to speak to us, we ask that you would open our hearts, that we would learn from you today, and that you would impress upon us the joy of Gabriel, the Christmas angel. Amen. There are two angels of light mentioned in Scripture by name. We spoke of one last week, Michael, the great archangel who always seems to be fighting. He's protecting the people of God, ultimately prevailing against the angels of darkness. The other is Gabriel, the mighty one of God, the Christmas angel. He is spoken of four times in Scripture. Daniel 8 and 9 are two of the times where he's spoken of in name. He's the glorious angel who interprets the visions that Daniel had regarding the reign of Cyrus and Belshazzar. And then 500 years later, it is the angel Gabriel who comes to speak to Mary, announcing the birth of Jesus. Although other angels do speak to individuals in Scripture, we know that angels spoke to Abraham, to Hagar, Jacob, and Joshua, and others. It is only Gabriel who is identified by name as speaking with mankind. If angels were inclined to envy, I am sure all the heavenly host would envy Gabriel, because he got to walk and talk among men and announce the coming of significant events in redemption history. From Daniel, he looks forward to the end of time, and in Luke, he announced the arrival of Christ. Peter tells us that angels long to look into the salvation of mankind. And Gabriel got to announce it not only to Daniel, but to Mary and to Zechariah. Jesus tells us that in the midst of the parables of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son, he tells us that there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The heavenly host looking down upon mankind and waiting for a reason to praise God, to rejoice. And it is Gabriel who got to bring the message of the coming of our Savior. 1 Corinthians tells us that angels watch over mankind because they maintain a strong interest in us, and Gabriel got to be a key figure to talk to the key figures in the redemption of the story of mankind. And in Matthew chapter 18, Jesus strongly implies that children have angels specifically assigned to watch over them, and Gabriel is the one who gets to come and talk about and announce the coming of the baby Jesus. So what can we learn from Gabriel? I'm going to give you three qualities which are worth remembering and emulating from the angel Gabriel. The first is this. Gabriel understood God's will, and he did it. Unlike God himself, angels are localized. They are not omnipresent. Any angels who are here are not also in Hackensack, Minnesota. Not that I have any reason to think of Hackensack, except that it's really cold there. You know, angels are localized. They're not omnipresent, and they are sent to go wherever God chooses to send them. Notice that our text tells us the angel Gabriel was sent by God, not just in the passage we read, but also earlier in Luke 1:19. The story tells us that Zechariah is in the temple. He's lighting incense, and he's arguing with an angel. Now, here's a clue. If you're arguing with an angel, you're likely to lose. He's arguing with an angel who has told him that his wife is going to have a child. And Gabriel says this, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and bring you good news." So picture this, the angel Gabriel standing in the presence of God, and he's told to go down to Jerusalem to argue with a priest, to bring him good news, and yet anyone past the age of 60 with a wife approximately the same age might think twice about pregnancy being good news. I mean, I'm all for pregnancy in my kids or grandkids. Not yet for the grandkids. But at Zechariah's age, Gabriel says, "Yep, take my word for it." And Zechariah blesses his wife with 9 months of silence. Actually, technically, I think it's 3 months of silence. Gabriel bringing this good news to communicate to the priest something the priest simply could not believe. I don't know about you, but once I get to be in the presence of God, I want to stay there. Gabriel says, I was in the presence of God, and God said, "Go. Go to Bethlehem. Nazareth. You know, I've been there. I prefer the presence of God." Angel Gabriel, he went because disobeying God is not an option for Gabriel. That's a lesson for us. Disobeying God is not an option. Gabriel didn't stop and argue with God that perhaps there was a better candidate to choose to have a child than an old couple who had long since given up the hope of childbearing. He didn't say, "You know, God, you don't know what you're doing. Really? You know, how about this young couple over here?" God told him to go, and he went. He understood God's will, and he did it. 6 months later, Gabriel is sent to another city of Israel, the city of Nazareth, there to tell someone on the other end of the age spectrum that she was going to have a child. I find it fascinating that as part of the Christmas narrative, an old couple who shouldn't be having children are told they're going to have a child, and a young woman who shouldn't be having children is told she's going to have a child. I'm not sure that either one of them, on the face of it, would have thought this was good news. A young girl, not yet married, you're pregnant. Explain that to your dad. It seems as though Gabriel is tasked with messages which were as likely as not going to be met with resistance. But he did it. He did it because God told him to. Both Zechariah and Mary are filled with fear when they hear and they first see Gabriel. And my guess is that Gabriel didn't think of himself as all that scary. I mean, look at the angels on our Christmas tree. Do those look like they're going to instill fear? Oh, this flowery dress and the cute blonde hair and... Gabriel probably didn't look like that. Neither Zechariah nor Mary seemed all that happy to meet him, but that doesn't deter Gabriel from doing what God had sent him to do. Sometimes, you and I are put in situations which are uncomfortable as we seek to represent God to those within our circle of influence. Luke doesn't tell us if it was Gabriel who was also sent to speak to the shepherds, but it seems logical, with travel expenses being what they were. It seems logical that God would send the angel he'd already had in the area to speak to the shepherds. Gabriel, I'm guessing, was there, going from Jerusalem to Nazareth and then to Bethlehem. Each time met with fear on the part of those to whom he spoke, each time going as an act of obedience to God. The angels of light, and especially Gabriel, do the bidding of the Almighty. They went where they were sent. What mattered to Gabriel is that he please and obey the one who sent him. This is a quality worth remembering and emulating. We should be glad to fulfill God's orders wherever it takes us. As we face a new year, one question we ought to ask is this: what does God want me to do? Gabriel was sent to Jerusalem. He was sent to Nazareth. He understood God's will and did it. This is a fantastic model for us. The second quality we see in Gabriel is he understood God's plan and he told us about it. Gabriel plays an important role in the book of Daniel as well as in the book of Luke. In Daniel, we see Gabriel interpreting Daniel's dreams as it relates to the end of time. He understood God's plan, and he told Daniel about it. I've actually read Daniel, and I'm not sure Gabriel's all that clear. I read it, and I find myself somewhat confused, but he was talking about the end of time. And when we see Gabriel next, some 500 years later, he's speaking to Zechariah and Mary, and he shows us the same quality. He knows God's plan, and he's going to tell us about it. A child will be born to you, Zechariah. This is God's plan. He then goes to Mary. A child will be born to you, Mary. This is God's plan. His name will be called Jesus. This is God's plan. He will be great. This is God's plan. He will be the Son of the Most High. This is God's plan. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. This is God's plan. His kingdom will have no end. This is God's plan. And because it's God's plan, Gabriel will pronounce it and tell anybody who is listening. Gabriel knew God's plan and he told people about it. The thing is, you and I know God's plan. We know a lot about what he has planned for the future. We know what he has done already, and we know what he's going to do in the future. We've read from Genesis to Maps. We understand the book is available to us to understand the future. The plethora of fulfilled prophecies we read in Scripture gives us confidence that those prophecies yet unfulfilled will still come true. We know it is God's plan to bless all who believe upon Jesus Christ if only his people will share that good news with others. If only we will share God's plan with others. We know God has plans to set all things right. We know there is a great hope in the anticipation of the return of Christ, and we could tell others about it. Unfortunately, we get so wrapped up in the fear of the present that we fail to see the hope of the future. The messages which Gabriel brought were messages about hope and joy and peace. So often we forget that at the core of our faith is a living hope. That God, through His great mercy, has caused us to be born again to hope. That the resurrection of Christ from the dead has given us an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. An inheritance which is kept in heaven for us. We know God's plans. Maybe we could share it. God's plan is that we would enjoy life eternal in the glory of heaven. This is the plan we can and should share with those in our circle of influence. And Christmas is a great time to do that, because people kind of expect that if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you will at least give some type of Christian greeting in your Christmas greeting. It is God's plan that we would have the opportunity to join Him in glory. But a blessed eternity is not the only element of God's plan, a plan which many fail to grasp as all that important or even all that believable. It is also God's plan for us to live what Jesus calls an abundant life now. That our faith in Christ brings in us a fundamental change which enables us to live in joy even in the midst of whatever is happening in the world around us. Part of what we receive through faith in Jesus Christ is an inner transformation which allows us joy and abundance today. For God has given His people something special. He has given us a future and a hope. And as long as we hold on to an understanding of God's plan, we can survive anything that comes our way. We can survive anything that comes our way. And like Gabriel, when we understand God's plan and are willing to tell others about it, those around us can enjoy and participate in a similar future and hope. It is the glorious message of hope which is desperately needed in our world today. Gabriel understood God's plans, and he told us about them. He told others. Another good model for us. The third quality we see in Gabriel is this. He understood God's ability, and he believed it. You know, the Christmas story contains so many miracles and, honestly, so many bizarre elements. God told Gabriel to tell an old man and his old wife they'd have a child. Even in our day of advanced medicine, we think that's kind of foolish. Really? You're 75 years old and you're going to have a baby? How did that happen? You know, some people might say, man, what drugs are you taking? I want some of that. Did you get to the fountain of youth? And most everybody else doesn't go, really? You're 75 and you're having a baby? That's not possible. It's all in your head. By the way, that's not something good you should normally tell women. It's an unbelievable thing. Gabriel goes and says, you know what? Going to happen. God said it. I believe it. He goes to Mary, who is pure of heart, who has not had relationship with Joseph or anyone else. And he says, you're going to have a kid. And she says, but I'm a virgin. So God said it. Therefore, it's going to happen. I understand God's ability. He can do anything. I kind of, in my mind's eye, because I have to talk about these things on a Sunday morning, I think about the conversation between God and Gabriel when God said to Gabriel, go talk to Zechariah and tell him his wife's going to have a child. That's the point where I think that I would kind of push back and say, are you sure? Is that the Zechariah you want me to talk to? Because it doesn't really seem... Oh, wait, you can do anything. Of course. And then he says, go tell that virgin she's going to have a child. And the angels say, you know, we don't have relations. You know, angels don't procreate. But we understand the concept, and, you know, we kind of have that... Oh, wait, you can do anything. You're able. That's fine. God is a God of miracles. No father necessary. Youth not necessary. We might not know how God does stuff. We just know that He does. Virgin birth preserves the sinlessness of Jesus. Nothing is impossible with God. Thousands of years before something is going to happen, God mentions it through His prophets. When God says He can, when God says He will, He does. Gabriel never doubts the ability of God to fulfill His word. That is a lesson for mankind. A review of the prophecies fulfilled just in the birth of Jesus reminds us that when God says He will do something, He does it. When He says that something will happen, it happens. Never underestimate God's ability. The Christmas narrative impresses upon us the ability of God to do what is impossible with mankind. The angel Gabriel understood that God can do anything He wants to do, even if it seems like it will take a miracle. And God is still a God of miracles. Often the miracles of our day are passed off as some sort of natural event or a fluke or a misdiagnosis. A disease the doctor says you have, but you didn't really have. We can't believe it was a divine blessing. It must be a bad doctor. I spend enough time in hospitals visiting people who have had drastic diagnoses and they disappear. Years ago, I was doing a seminar, and part of the seminar was for me to observe a colon resection, a lady who had a tumor in her stomach, on her colon. And I met the lady, and I prayed for her and prepped for surgery, and I got to actually be in the operating room. That's like the holy of holies for doctors. And, you know, it's a place that we never get to go to. It's only the doctoral priests get to go into the holy holies of the operating room, and I got to go there. It was kind of weird. You know, you got to get all washed up different, and I prayed for this lady, and before the surgery began, before she was put under, she said, "Would you pray for me?" And I prayed for her, and the doctor opened her up and couldn't find the tumor. It was gone. And he said, "Man, who was the idiot that said there was a tumor here?" Man, he was mad. And I was thinking, hallelujah. He says, the doctor, you know, he can't fix it, but God did. Don't be fooled. God is still in the miracle business because some of the greatest miracles are yet to come. When Michael the archangel blows a trumpet, we see Christ ascend in the clouds. When a new heaven and a new earth are populated by the people of God, when there will be no more tears, no more pain, no more sorrow. It's all God's work. He said He's going to do it. He's going to. Gabriel understood God's ability and believed it. It is a good model for us. So three of the final lessons from our study on angels. Understand God's will and then do it. Don't resist. If you're convinced God wants you to do something, do it. Now, as a caveat, there are some people who are convinced that God wants them to do things which the Bible specifically says they shouldn't do. That means you're not hearing from God. If you are convinced that God's telling you to murder your wife, you can be pretty sure that's not God. Be reasonable, be biblical. God's telling you to do something, do it. Understand God's plan and tell others about it. That's part of what the task of the church is. It's to tell people that the reason we have this celebration of Christmas is because there was a child who was born who changed the world both then and now and in the future. And we actually believe that this child was born to a virgin and lived the life he lived. And that faith in Christ transforms us. Let's tell others about it. There's only a couple more days before Christmas. Pick one person, one individual that you know, and say, hey, by the way, you know we're celebrating Christmas. I want you to know that I am absolutely convinced that the Christmas story is true. And it impacts my life every single day. And if you want to talk about it, I'd love to talk to you about it more. And then if they say no, that's okay. But at least give them the opportunity to share in your faith. Understand God's plan and tell others about it. And finally, understand God's ability and believe in it. These are the lessons of an angel. I'm going to ask the guys to come up. They're going to play that drummer boy thing. And we're going to pray while they're on their way up. Our gracious Father, I thank you for the great joy that we have in celebrating the birth of Christ and in hearing from the voice of angels. I thank you for Michael, the great archangel, who is battling on our behalf. And I thank you for Gabriel, who gives us such an incredible model that we would follow and that we would be obedient to you, that we would be convinced of your abilities and never doubt that you can do anything you want to do. In the name of Christ, amen.